الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتل المشركون كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والمهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله عنه صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين respected علماء الكرام beloved elders in Islam the Islamic calendar in the life of a mu'min is very very significant and important it is essential that a mu'min at all times should be conscious and should be aware of what month we are going through, what days we are going through, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has linked many acts of worship, very significant days with the Islamic calendar. That is why if a person is conscious, then he will be fully aware and acquainted with those Mubarak occasions, whether they are days or nights or moments that are coming by, and how he should utilize them and take maximum benefit from them. That is why in the bygone days it was very common for the elderly folk in the home to ask whether the moon is sighted, whether a certain month has began and started. They should find out, and remember when we were young boys, the woman folk at home should find out, is the moon sighted? Was the moon sighted nearly every month? Why? They wanted to acquaint themselves with the relevant Islamic months. If a person does not know the month, then he will not know when Rajab is coming, when Shaban is coming, when Muharram is coming, when is the 15th day of Shaban, night of Shaban, when is the 10th of Ashura. Why? Because he's unaware, and he's not aware and not conscious about the Islamic date. That is why it's very, very important and significant that we keep ourselves acquainted with the Islamic days. Similarly, our homes, our families, our wives and children should also be conscious as to what Islamic date it is. And alhamdulillah, nowadays it's so easy. We have calendars printed. Our masjid boards have it reflected every day, the Islamic date. Calendars are printed even by some non-Muslims. Calendars are printed where the Islamic date is being reflected, showing and acknowledging that the Islamic calendar is very, very significant in the heart and mind of a mu'min. And why not when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us here in the Holy Quran that the months by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had fixed 12 months, 12 Islamic months, and minha arba'atun hurum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made 4 months from them more sacred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made 4 months sacred and given them more respect and honor. And what are those 4 months? Those 4 months are Zilqada, Zilhijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted excellence, more virtue, and more sacredness for these 4 months. Now if a person is not conscious, what does more sacredness means? We should hold these months in high esteem. We should fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more in this month than in other months. First, there were two commandments. One was that there was no warfare and fighting that was allowed in these months. This was abrogated in Islam. This was in the pre-Islamic days. The second injunction regarding these months were they are more sacred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them more honor, and we should hold them in more esteem. Carrying out good deeds in this month will bring more rewards than in any other months. In fact, Imam Abu Bakr Jassas, rahmatullahi alayhi, commentator of the Quran, mentions that this actually is a hint and indication that these months have a very exclusive characteristic, and that is this, that whomsoever will carry out good deeds in this month, then he will be encouraged, he will have the capacity, the ability to continue carrying out good deeds throughout the year. This will be the lasting effect of that person. And that person that abstains and he restrains himself from evil deeds, saves himself from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these months, then this will have an impact on him to this extent that inshallah throughout the rest of the year and the other months he will be able to restrain himself and restrict himself. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this, mentions فَلَا تَزْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not oppress yourselves, do not wrong yourselves in these months. What is meant by this? That whatever injunctions are given to you regarding these months, then follow those injunctions. Or it could also mean that show the due respect and honor for these months, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them more sacred. and given them more virtue and sanctity over other months. So uphold the sanctity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see that you show that additional respect to these months. And it also mean that do not, it should also mean that devote yourself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the, in these months. Devote yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these months. And as I mentioned, just a generation ago we used to see that the people used to be very conscious and extra precaution used to be taken when these Mubarak months used to come. In fact, prohibitions are not allowed at any part of the year. But extra caution used to be taken when these months used to come. And this was, so to say, like a season where a person should carry out good deeds and abstain from evil. It was a season that was known and accepted in the society. Like we find other seasons, for example, it is the exam season. You don't find a boy, a young boy, you ask him where you are, says, I'm very busy, it's exams now. And when he says the sentence, exams now, we keep quiet, meaning you are very, very busy. And ma'azallah, yet what they do is not even proper and justified. Some people don't even read the salat, why it's exam times now. In fact, we advise them, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more now. You should be frequenting the masjid even more often when it's exam times. However, similarly, we find is the norm of the business times or the business season. Don't see a person from the morning till the evening, or you don't see him for days, and upon inquiry, he tells you, well, you don't know, it's December now, it's the busy period now. In other words, you should understand it's December, you can't expect to see me in the afternoon for Zuhr Salat and Asr Salat, or come early for Maghrib Salat. I finish off very late. It's understood, it's a norm, it's acceptable that this is a very busy period. Similarly, it should be these 4 months. And this is how they were before, that this is Muharram, this is Zil Hijjah, this is Zil Qada, this is Rajab. This is why people used to behave with extra caution and should be extra conscious, devote themselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, that these periods of time that are acceptable in our society, they give so many meanings. And we understand when those words are mentioned, it is the wedding fever now, everybody is busy in the family, and that's why we are not available in the phones, etc. Everybody understands that. Similarly, these 4 months should be such, these are the 4 months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given added virtue to, given added sacredness, and the person who carries out rewards actions in this 4 months will get added reward. Like we find in mashallah in the month of Ramadan, everybody knows the environment, how it changes, how everybody, so to say, is busy and engaged and devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, it should be these 4 months, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned them to be minha arba'atun hurum fala tazlimu fihinna anfusakum. Similarly, we find that this month of Muharram, when it dawns upon us, then it gives us another message, that is, another year has gone by, and this is the first month of the Islamic calendar. Obviously, this is like a milestone in the journey of life, where one whole year goes by. And obviously, a person normally begins to reflect and think, we should do some stock taking. Normally, stock taking in our life should be every single day. We should take stock of the day as to how we spend the day, how much in the obedience of Allah, and how much in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A student also, after the year goes by, looks at his report and sees what he has lost, what he has gained, and what he has lost. A businessman tries to balance his books when the year is gone. What are the profits of the year? What is the loss of the year? What are my liabilities? What are my assets, etc.? Similarly, it should be a condition of a mu'min. When the month of Muharram goes by, another year has gone by. Where did we spend this year? The days of this year, the nights of the year, the moments and the months of the year, were they spent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should check and reflect and see. It should be some introspection in our lives. What is the condition of my salat? Salat of my wife and children, of my zakat, about my hukuk, the rights of the people around me, my wife, my children, my neighbors, the non-Muslims around me. Up to what extent have I fulfilled the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One whole year has gone by. And upon reflecting, if a person comes to realize that we have failed in fulfilling our duties, maybe in the hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the rights of people, then the first thing to do, a business person, when he loses and he has made losses for the year, there's nothing he can do about it except lament and regret upon that, and maybe change his strategies and his styles and techniques for the next year and his policies. But for a mu'min, alhamdulillah, as long as we are living, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. And all those losses that were there for the last month, that for the last year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such, if we sincerely repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then so to say, we have wiped our sins completely clean. At-ta'ibu min az-zamb kamal la zambala. person that is regretful and remorseful and repents from his sins is like a person that committed no sins whatsoever. In fact, you become even more closer. At-Taibu Habibullah. Person that repents comes closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person who repents becomes the Habib and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the doors of Tawbah are there if a person had faltered. If we had faltered in the past year in our ibadat, in fulfilling our rights, then obviously we should go and make up the rights with those people who we owe them. Who owe the rights, we should fulfill their rights to them. And as far as our salat, zakat, etc. are concerned, then we should make tawbah, istighfar, and thereafter fulfill that. In fact, there are three conditions. One is you should stop in our tracks and abstain from that sin. Whatever sin is we are carrying out, the present demands that we stop that sin immediately. Secondly, we have remorse and regret for the past that we had perpetrated the sin and gone into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we should make a firm resolve for the future that inshallah we will save ourselves from this type of sin. Inshallah, if these three conditions are found, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surely and definitely accepts the tawbah of that person. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ الْعَبْدِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ Or كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Till the person is not in the throes of death, till before that the doors of repentance are open. So there is no real loss for a mu'min. When these months go by, then he should reflect, and if he sees that he has erred and he has faltered, then he should rectify himself, reform himself, take up resolutions for the next year, that inshallah from now I will be fully compliant, I'll fully comply with the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill the rights of the people around me. So it's a time for reflection when the month of Muharram comes by, the time to reflect, time for stock taking, and a time to rectify ourselves and tread to the path of rectitude and see that we do not lead a life like we led in the past if it is of disobedience, and rectify our lives. Similarly, when the month of Muharram comes, then we find that this month is the beginning of the Islamic calendar, and this was calculated from the Hijrah. It was calculated from the Hijrah and migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this great event comes to mind, how the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah and go to Madinah al-Munawwarah. Very easily said, but we sit and reflect and think that a person has to leave his environment, his home, his family, his belongings, and everything that he was acquainted with for so many years of his life. For what? For the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to safeguard the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see that the deen of Allah is established in him and established in the world. We find they had made sacrifices, and they had to migrate, and they had to make hijrah. That's why we find that after this great event, the Islamic calendar had began. So that whenever the month of Muharram comes, you reflect on this great sacrifice that was made by the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. We know those words as moving and stirring words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he was forced to leave, he had turned around and addressed Makkah al-Mukarramah, etc. And we can understand the feelings of Rasulullah, his emotions and sentiments when he had to part from Makkah al-Mukarramah and from the Baytullah. But this was the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the difficult and hard conditions upon so many of his companions. The first person, Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, a young person that was brought up with so much pomp, brought up with so much embellishments of the dunya and luxuries of the dunya, he had to migrate, leave his children, leave his environment and parents, and go to Madinah al-Munawwarah. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum radiallahu anhu, a blind Sahabi, also leaves Makkah al-Mukarramah. In fact, it was compulsory and binding for the companions to leave and go to Madinah al-Munawwarah. This was the hijrah, and this was the great price they had paid, a great sacrifice they had made to retain the iman. And this is why we find that the iman was of such a caliber that nobody thereafter can reach the iman of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Musab ibn Suhaib radiallahu anhu's incident is so famous in our minds, where we find that he is waylaid by some people, and what he tells them, that I am an expert archer, and this arm, that arrows that I have here, as long as I have an arrow here, none of you will be saved, and I will use it to the last bit, and thereafter I will use my sword to defend myself. If you want, you can challenge me, but alternatively, if you want, I have so much wealth in Makkah al-Mukarramah, I have some slave girls in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you can take that in lieu of giving me freedom to part and go and migrate to Madinah al-Munawwarah. This is the high price that they paid, parted with all the wealth, and went out to save their deen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, La hijrata ba'da al-fath. After the conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, there is no hijrah. In other words, this type of hijrat that was bounding and compulsory is not there anymore. But in the light of the hadith, we understand that this hijrat is there for all of us, not this particular one, but there is a hijrat for all of us. Wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu anhu. Muhajir is that person who leaves, the emigrator is that person who emigrates and leaves out and abandons those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited for us, made illegal for us, made impermissible for us. A muhajir is that person who leaves out those things. So here we can also join in the hijrah, maybe not this particular hijrah, but in the level of a hijrah is this, that we leave out those things that are made impermissible by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's for each one of us at this point in time to do some introspection and see up to what are those things that are impermissible in the life of a mu'min, made impermissible by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they have crept into our society. And we find that those things are there. To our surprise, we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. There are many things that are completely impermissible in the light of the Quran and Hadith, but have become a norm, acceptable here in our society, and have been practiced for many of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, sometimes by our wives and children, sometimes by our families, sometimes by our clothed associates. Those things are done that seems to be completely acceptable as far as the society is concerned, as far as the environment is concerned, as far as the norms are concerned. But if you scrutinize them, we'll find them they are totally prohibited. The light of the Quran, the light of the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are duty bound to scrutinize all these things and to go and consult the learned people and ask them about these things. Sometimes they pertain to our living standards, sometimes they pertain to our dressings and behavior, sometimes it pertains to our business aspect and our business lives, etc. We should concentrate ourselves and see and acquaint ourselves with the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and see that these things do not creep into our lives. And we also get the reward of the people of Hijrat, and we also become muhajir by abstaining from these things. Similarly, we should also be conscious about the environment around us. We are getting into the holiday season now, and now unfortunately we find many of our children, even while the schools are open, they are already on holiday and going to such places that should not be frequented. And we are thinking and under the impression that they are in the schools, etc. This is also a great responsibility on the parents and upon us to look after our children, to see where they are going, to the environment that they go to, because the child has brought up sometime 20 years, 15 years of hard work and proper Islamic nurturing, etc. When he gets into the wrong company, we find that child is completely lost and becomes a liability on the society. So this is also a time that we should brace ourselves, make constructive plans for our children for this holiday season, for November and December, etc. What we're going to do, where they are they going to go, see and look after them before it is too late and they go into the wrong direction. Find people going into the malls, people going to wrong places while the schools are open, etc. So we should ensure that we look after our children. It's also a duty upon us and a responsibility. Together with that, we all know the world events, what is happening with our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza and other parts of the world, how they are being oppressed by the people. We should make sincere dua for them, the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a single day should go by, not a single dua should go by, but we should remember these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, save us all. Tomorrow we could be in the same predicament. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make tawbah and istighfar for our sins and see and ensure that we are, our ta'alluq in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proper and correct, and we are on the right cause. And at the same time, we should conscientize our wives and children as well to show feelings of mercy and show feelings of mercy and compassion to those people, our brothers and sisters in those parts of the world. Together with that, if we can assist them monetarily and financially also, we find many people are making collections here in our masjid as well. After the salat, we find there will be collection made for people of these people that are less unfortunate, or these people that we find that are beset with hardships and difficulties in other part of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and conscientize us with our deen so that we can come on to the right cause and we can have a proper ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make our life in this world easy and the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wan alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.